All right, baseball coming up today. It should be a fabulous game. Greinke and Alex Wood. Let's go back east and bring in a really wonderful national baseball writer. He's with us all the time and all the big moments of the year, and that is Paul White. Paul, how are you today?
Great, Marty. A little exhausted from yesterday.
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, you've been through these trade deadlines before, and you've covered it for USA Today as well as other publications. You ever see anything like that?
No, nothing at all. And it's fascinating because so much of it, more so, especially in the National League, is about October. You know, this is usually about August and September and the drive to get to the playoffs and who has a shot. But National League especially, this is all about getting position for once you're already in the playoffs. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. If there's, you know, the American League, we might see some changes in the standings. The National League is going to be difficult.
Yeah, you know, it's funny watching, as you explained it, watching it yesterday on TV, and I was watching the MLB Network. It was it was like every 30 seconds something happened. And it really was, I thought it was compelling, and baseball needed it. Better than the extra inning rule or, the seven-inning doubleheaders or the hunk of iron for the World Series trophy. This was baseball at its best.
Yeah, we talk about pace of game. How about the pace of yesterday? You're right. And it was interesting because so much had happened in the couple of days leading up to yesterday, you started to wonder, whoa, is there anything left to happen? And I heard a couple GMs in advance say, oh, yeah, it'll be mayhem, and they were spot on. I mean, that last half hour, it was like, yeah, every minute or two, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one, and virtually all of them significant. You know, it's not just some seventh inning setup man for a minor leaguer we'll never hear of again. I mean, this is legit big time stuff with big time prospects going the other way.
Yeah, the first time that's happened in a while. The market really dictated that. Well, you're in Washington, D.C., you're close to it. Let's get your thoughts on what the Nationals did, and it seemed like every time you turned around, they were making another departure.
Yeah, Mike Rizzo explained himself after it was all over, and basically I think is using the currency of that World Series championship and a pretty remarkable run of playoff appearances over pretty much the last decade, saying, okay, this is how we got here. We built it up from a really awful team. If you go all the way back to when the Nationals came from Montreal and floundered for a while, and then we built it, we won it, and we've got to do it again because a lot of these guys are going to go as free agents. They lost Rendon last year. They realized that letting Bryce Harper walk was better than locking him up for the length of time they thought they had to, figuring they had Soto and Robles to go forward. And they had some other guys they had filled in on short term deals. Kyle Schwarber was one. And it was like, okay, we've given you a championship. We've proven we can do this, so let us do it again. It'll be interesting to see how the fans react. There were an awful lot of fans at the ballpark in Washington last night wearing Scherzer jerseys, wearing Trey Turner jerseys. I mean, Trey Turner's the only one that I found a little bit baffling because I thought he was one of the cornerstones, but it allowed them to get this thing done.
You joined in Marty and yourself this morning. You talk about Washington, you talk about Chicago Cubs getting rid of their surplus of major stars. When do you think Washington and Chicago decided that they were going to blow these veterans out and look for the future?
I think it's a couple different cases. I think Chicago, from the start of the season, the Cubs felt like, okay, unless we really surprise ourselves and we're really in the thick of it, this is probably the best scenario going forward. They would have had a hard time selling that if they were, a game out in the division and playing really well and if the crowds were excited. I mean, I think that would have been difficult. Washington was different. I think Washington waited until the last couple of weeks, said, all right, we've got two scenarios here. We can go either way. And the team has not played well. They haven't played well all season. And part of it, has been some injuries. But all of a sudden you realize, okay, They lost a couple games to the Orioles. They were losing to other bad teams. No, we're not gonna make it. So I think plan B was there. They knew what they would probably try to do, and sure enough, pulled it off.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about the Giants. When we left spring training, everyone thought the Giants would have been in this position of being the you know, selling five pitchers and all sorts of different players and Crawford and different players. But it turned out to be just the opposite, where the Giants now, they've got an issue for next year because all these guys are going to leave and they haven't gotten anybody back for them. So it just shows you how baseball turns around.
Yeah, it does. And again, you know, there's a certain level of trust from the fans that you've got to hang on to through these processes. You know, just like we talked about the Nationals trying to use the currency of a championship to get fans to buy into this. Now, you know, the Giants realize, okay, we are going to get backed into a corner a little bit, but we can't not go for it with the situation we're in now. The fans wouldn't buy that. And it's a unique year in the sense that, you know, fans are just getting back into the ballpark. The buzz is just starting to build up. I mean, we talked about the Cubs. I watched a couple games there recently in the last week or so, and the excitement at Wrigley Field, the buzz, is every bit as high as it seemed when they won a championship, when they were in the playoffs every year. And it was kind of interesting. I wonder how much that played into their thinking. It's like, hey, the fans are just excited to be back, and they're into this again. They understand that we're not a contender right now. So maybe the Cubs felt too. It was like, okay, we can get away with this right now. The fan, you know, we got a little bit of a honeymoon, you know, for the rest of this season, and let's go forward and see what happens. But yeah, I guess if you look at the Giants, how much, if say Crawford and some of the other guys hadn't produced as surprisingly well as they have this season, how much would they have gotten in return anyway? You know, the fact that the free agents to be value is up is because they played so well and put the Giants in contention. So, you know, I don't know if they're set back that far from probably what the front office was thinking in terms of a long term plan. So, you know, I think the plan goes on. I think if you had two or three veterans, you would have traded at the deadline. I don't know how much the return on them would impact the long term. You know, the future and where this team is going.
Well, they've got starting pitchers, and the market was dying for starting pitchers. And I think they would have had a very big market for Wood and for DeSclafani and Gausman. I think they would have.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, you know, now you have to decide, all right, is there anybody that you try to keep beyond this? You know, can you have these guys up their market value enough? Does the market trust those guys enough? You know, the market, you're right, probably would have trusted them as rentals. Will they trust them in terms of a long-term deal? You know, what can DeSclafani get on the open market if he was out there? What could Alex Wood get if he was on the open market? You know, that's an interesting question. It's a different market once we hit the offseason and guys are looking for 3- and 4-year contracts that probably aren't going to happen.
Hey, Paul, a lot of these teams, when they were dealing a lot of these top stars, were looking at top prospects, and a lot of them got what they wanted in the top 10. Some of these teams did. But then some of them kind of filtered down in a little bit into the prospect pool. Was this enough for Chicago and Washington when they started selling these pieces? Were these prospects enough for them to rebuild with these guys, or are they going to go back on the free agent market?
Well, I think they're going to go back to the free agent market to build around these guys. Now you have, and Washington's case is interesting, you have a lot of controllable talent there. You know, Turner was getting closer to being out of their control after another year, but Soto and Robles, and now Kybert Ruiz, the catcher from the Dodgers, Josiah Gray, the pitching prospect, who they'll put him right in the rotation now and find out, is he legit? So, you know, you've got a chance to go out and build around these guys because you've reduced your payroll. I mean, the Nationals have to consider themselves a really big player in the off-season market. And the Cubs, to a certain extent, will be interested to see how much they want to go in. I mean, Chris Bryant even said publicly before the deadline, hey, go ahead and trade me. I'll be willing to talk to you guys about coming back as a free agent. I'm open to that. You know, that's it doesn't happen very often. We've seen it with Rollins Chapman and some others, but it doesn't happen often. But I think we could see that kind of stuff in play again this year.
You know, Paul, one of the guys that got drafted or not got traded from Kansas City is Jorge Soler. And he is one of the top hitters that Kansas City had. He was a top prospect, and they gave him away for a minor league pitcher. What happened to him with Kansas City?
Yeah, that one was a tough one. You know, it's like the market was kind of all over the place, and you don't know if you should be blaming GMs on this or if they're doing their due diligence. I mean, you're right. A guy like Soler, who can be an impact player, I mean, I know he's not a great defender, but he's a power guy. He's had some huge numbers. I think the Royals feel like they saw the best of him over a couple of years ago, and it hasn't been the same. And you know, while the market produced really good prospects in situations where teams were bidding against each other. The NL West, the Dodgers. You know, we thought a couple hours before Scherzer goes to the Dodgers, everybody said, oh, the Padres are in. They've almost got a deal done. Well, then the Dodgers jumped in. I'll bet you that Josiah Gray and Kyber Ruiz were not in the Dodgers' offer until they thought the Padres were about to get Scherzer. So there was competition. There was not competition in other places. Trevor Story has said he's dumbfounded that he didn't get traded by the Rockies, and the Rockies have said, hey, the competitive balance pick for losing them as a free agent is better than the offers we're getting. So I think it depends on the situation. I think the National League West situation was unique in that it really jacked up the value, and the Nationals were able to create a bidding war. I don't know if San Diego was about to get Scherzer, but the Nationals made sure the rest of the world thought so, and then it worked.
Well, in the National League East, they think the Mets are catchable. Look what the Braves did. Eddie Rosario, Duval made his annual trip back to Atlanta. Soler, this Richard Rodriguez, who I like. I don't care what they say about a strikeout rate. I like this guy. And, of course, Pablo Sandoval is now done. He was a salary dump by the Braves. But the Braves are back in it. And look at the Phillies. Come on, the Phillies grabbed the two I thought that should have been on the West Coast. Ian Kennedy, who would help any bullpen. And Kyle Gibson, who's a good 3-4 starter. So the East got into it.
Yeah, they did. It was kind of interesting. And I think the Phillies were in a situation just the opposite of the Nationals. They didn't have those commodities that they needed to dump in terms of, you know, they would be free agents to be, they would be rentals for other teams. So I think the Phillies were like, okay, there's not a lot for us to gain because we've got a lot of money tied up in big names and, you know, Harper, Real Muto, guys are going to be around there for a while. Their older guys probably weren't going to get them. You know, they love Andrew McCutchen, but really, you know, for a rental, would he have really been worth that much on the market? Probably not because of his age. You know, so the Phillies were in the opposite situation. They didn't have these commodities that were going to bring back frontline guys, and you're right. The Mets are vulnerable. I mean, you know, sure they got Carrasco back last night, but we don't know about DeGrom now. Every report from Jacob DeGrom is a little more negative. So, you know, you have to wonder where the Mets are. They are catchable. It's just a matter of who's the team that can do it. And you know, Atlanta maybe. Their pitching is still not starting. Pitching is still not that great, but it's as good as the Mets at this moment without DeGrom in the rotation. And the Phillies are in a similar situation, and they were desperately in need of bullpen help. They've gone that route. We'll see if it's enough. We'll see if Gibson, who was starting to tail off over the last few starts, is there a fatigue situation there, or will he snap back? That'll be interesting. But, you know, the Mets are probably still the best team, but you're right. That's the one place in the National League the standings could change. Otherwise, it's just a matter of where the three in the West finish in what order. And, you know, Cincinnati tried to do a little bit with their bullpen. That's nice, but that's too big a gap. They had their chance to get close when they played Milwaukee head-to-head, didn't do the job. So I don't think there's really a chance for them to get back in. So, yeah, if there's any intrigue in the National League, it'll be the East.
Well, I think they got a shot at San Diego. I think Cincinnati's got a shot at San Diego. I really do.
They're the one team. They're the one team that intrigues me. You know, they have a lot of ifs. I mean, they've had some things go remarkably well, the Joey Votto streak. Jesse Winker's turned into a fabulous player. But they've had things that haven't worked. You know, Eugenio Suarez has been horrible all year, and they keep playing him. What if he gets on a streak, a power streak? Is their starting pitching deep enough? Once they're all there, it could be Castillo and Sonny Gray and, you know, Miley and Maley. You know, that could be pretty good. They need Castellanos back. They got to get him back in that offensive mix, and then they're a tough team.
Hey, Paul, quick thoughts on the AL West. Of course, the Astros strengthened their bullpen. The Oakland A's got some added pieces. And in Seattle, one of the reporters asked the GM if his phone was still working as the deadline happened. Tell me your thoughts on what went on in the AL West.
Houston's still the best team, clearly. And, you know, I think the A's are more concerned. Yeah, they'd love to catch Houston, but I think they're more concerned. That's where things could change. They could be brought down because if they're trying to get a wild card and they've got the second one, I wouldn't worry about Seattle as much. And I think Seattle took the approach, this has been kind of fun. We're really not that good. So let's not mess with this. Let's keep building the way we've been going. I think that's the issue there. But there are teams, the teams who are active trying to focus on August and September are in the American League, and their teams going after the wild card. It's the Yankees. It's Toronto. You know, if I put Cleveland in there, if I thought their starting pitching was going to get healthy, but if they don't get Beaver and Savali back, then they're not a factor. But the teams that are going to be drastically different from now until October 1st are teams that are chasing the A's. So I give the A's credit for trying to get something done. I don't know if it's enough. They're going to have a tough time holding off all of those teams. You know, has Toronto added enough pitching? Marty, you and I have been talking about Toronto all year. I know you love that team, and I think maybe they have enough pitching to make a run. I think they have every bit as much of a chance of making a run for the wild card as the Yankees do at this point. And the A's are the team that has to look out. And don't forget the Angels. You know, they didn't need to make trades. If they get Trout and Rendon back in reasonable time, and we'll see if that happens, all of a sudden, that's a really interesting team.
D-E-A-D. Dead. They're dead. I'm sorry.
Well, if they don't get their guys, yeah.
They're dead no matter what they do. They got no pitching. All right. A pleasure to have you on, as always. And, you know, we love catching up with you and I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
No problem.
All right. Very good. D-E-A-D, Bill.
I know. You love that one. I think so, too. I don't think the Angels have a breath of air either. AL West is tough, especially with Houston. And Houston's getting better now with the bullpen help. And I still think the A's have a chance. I still think Oakland's got a chance.
Oh, yeah. Come on. They made great moves. Yeah. Marte, Gomes, Harrison, you know. And they gave up Lizardo, a guy in the minor leagues. All right. Let's take a break. Kerry Crowley joins us next. And as we come back from this break, you'll hear a couple of minutes with Willie McCovey that Raf pulled out of the archive. So stay tuned for that. More coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the Sports Leader.